Chapter 15, we're just going to take up the first 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 words. I am the true vine. Now Christ was fast approaching the close of his life. He was just about 24 hours away from the cross, so you can feature what was on his mind. The Lord's Supper had just finished, and he had just told his disciples to accompany him to the Garden of Gethsemane. Judas had already departed the company of the 12, gone off to finalize the last details of the betrayal, which was forthcoming in the garden. Now, on the way to the Garden of Gethsemane, which happened to be one of the favorite prayer closets of Jesus, they must have passed by a number of vineyards. When Jesus saw the vineyards, he must have felt that this would be a very good time to teach the disciples a crucial lesson about spiritual survival. So I'll imagine that there were many vineyards there present, because Palestine was a land that was just filled with vineyards. And Jesus begins this explanation about the vineyard, to me, by giving himself a strange nickname. He called himself, I am the vine. I've never heard anybody called the vine, but that's a nickname he gave himself. Actually, in his 3 years of ministry, he gave himself seven nicknames. I am the bread, I am the light, I am the good shepherd, I am the door, I am the resurrection, I am the vine, and I am the truth. These were all, in a sense, symbolic nicknames that Jesus said were implied himself. To me, these seven names that Jesus gave himself explain the meaning of the name of God, which was spoken to Moses when he told Moses to lead the Hebrews out of Egypt in Exodus 3:14. Moses wanted to know, well, how am I going to convince the people of Israel that you're the right God? What's your name? Now notice what God said. When the Lord, verse 14, and God said unto Moses, chapter 3, and God said unto Moses, I am. Boy, that's a strange name. I am that I am. And thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am, hath sent you. Now, I don't know if anybody's ever called God I am. In the New Testament, Jesus gave us an illustration or an explanation of what God's I am meant in the Old Testament. Every one of the seven things that Jesus said I am referred to the total thing that God was to Israel back there when he asked Moses to lead them out of Egypt. What was the intention of Jesus when he nicknamed himself Vine? I am the vine. Now keep in mind, this explanation was given only to his disciples. Judas had departed the company. There was no crowd of people gathered around Jesus at this time. It was just the remaining 11 disciples of Jesus. His followers, the believers in Jesus Christ, were the only ones that this message was given to. Not all of the seven I ams are given just to God's people. I am the doors for lost people. I am the door to heaven. But this is just for God's people. Now, Christ is the vine only to the inner circle. The outer circle is the world, the unbelievers, the non-Christians. The inner circle would be, of course, those that are believers in Jesus Christ, the redeemed. Now, as Jesus observed the grapevine, he said, I am the true vine. The true vine. The vine was a common symbol in Israel. It was stamped upon some of their coins during one period of their national history. Josephus, who was an early Hebrew historian, I think he was Hebrew, but he was an early historian, records that there was a golden vine placed above the temple door in place or before the holy place in the temple. Israel had been told by God and had considered herself, even at this very moment, to be God's true vine. That was Israel's picture of herself. When Jesus said, I am the true vine, the disciples asked the question to themselves, now just a minute. We've always been told and heard that we are the true vine, and they had right to do this. Look, if you will, at Psalms 80 and verse 8. Notice. Verse 7 talks, turn us again, O God of hosts, talking about Israel now. Cause your face to shine upon us, that we shall be saved. Thou hast brought a vine out of Egypt. Notice, Daniel here pictures the people of Israel being brought out of Egypt under the terminology of a vine. Thou hast brought a vine out of Egypt. Thou hast cast out the heathen, and you have planted this vine. That is, he planted the vine in the land of promise that flowed with milk and honey. Look at Isaiah 5, if you will. Isaiah 5, the first 7 verses. Now will I sing to my well-beloved a song of my beloved, touching his vineyard. Here's a song God was singing about his vineyard. My well-beloved, that's God, hath a vineyard in a very fruitful hill. That's Israel. And God fenced his vineyard, and God gathered out the stones thereof, those things that offended, and God planted it with the choicest vine, with holiness, with the laws of God, with his own people, chosen, picked by him. And he built a tower in the midst of it, and made a wine press therein. He wanted to receive benefit and fruit from his vines. And he made a wine press, and he looked that it should bring forth grapes, but it brought forth wild grapes. Israel turned out wild. And now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem and men of Judah, judge, I pray you, betwixt me and my vineyard. What could have been done more to my vineyard than I have not done in it? Wherefore, when I looked that it should bring forth grapes, it brought forth wild grapes. And now go to, I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will take away the hedge thereof. It shall be eaten up, and break down the wall thereof, and it shall be trodden down. Again, God says Israel was his vineyard. Look at Jeremiah 2:21. Jeremiah 2:21. I planted thee, talking about Israel now, I planted Israel, a noble vine, holy a right seed. Now he asks the question of his vineyard. How then have you turned into the degenerate plant of a strange vine unto me? Now Jesus was making clear that he, no longer Israel, degenerate vine Israel, but he was now God's true vine. That Israel had been displaced, not with another nation, but had been replaced with none other than Christ himself. He was the new vine. Israel was no longer God's vine and should no longer consider herself to be in any way connected with God's vine unless she at the same time connected herself to Jesus. Now the only way you could become a part of God's people, God's vine, was to be connected to Jesus, the true vine. You would no longer be a vine, but now you would be a branch, because Jesus is the vine, and we will just be branches on the vine. Israel was God's vine, now she is no longer that vine. She thinks she is. She still talks like she's God's vine, but she's not. And there is one vine, that's Jesus, and we are now all branches of that one vine. And just being born a Jew, Jesus says, no longer entitles anyone to be classified a part of the vine, which means the Jews are lost. That upsets them, but it's a fact. Jesus is now the true vine. And there is no other vine. There is no other name under heaven by which a man be saved, and there is no other vine under heaven by which a man may attach himself to and grow but Jesus Christ. There is none other, whether we like it or not. Now, Jesus was claiming to be more than a Savior. He was also claiming to be a vine, which comes afterwards you're saved. In other words, the disciples, in a sense, had already believed in Jesus, had already followed Jesus. The vine comes after the salvation. The door gets you into the kingdom. The vine carries you through. All right. I am the true vine. What does it mean? Well, let's look at several meanings this morning, the time that we have left. Number one, the word true means essential. I am the essential vine. Not essential to salvation, but essential to survival. If the Christian is to survive once he's born again, if the Christian is to remain Christ-like, if he is to grow in grace, if he is to produce for God and not become a wild vine like Israel, he must become attached to Jesus. Jesus is saying this very clearly. I'm not just any old vine. I'm the essential vine. You will never make the spiritual climb to heaven unless you become a branch that remains attached to me. I don't know of any way to keep saying this, but Christians keep forgetting this. And we detach ourselves from the Lord. In many ways, we detach ourselves from prayer, from church, from the Bible, from obedience. Every time we detach ourselves from the Lord, there's no possible way that we can climb Glory Hill in this state. There's no way. And I think if you prune plants, you know, if you cut the limb off, there's no hope for that limb. Maybe you can cut it off and graft it back in. But I mean, if you cut it off from its life and you leave it alone, it's not going to survive. And this is all Jesus is saying here. I am an essential part of the Christian life. You cannot do without me and make the climb. I'm essential. And we just don't need Jesus in the crisis hour. We need him every minute of every hour. There's no other way. I don't know how to keep getting that across without being repetitious, but we forget this. We think that Jesus is on standby, you know, emergency only, and that he loves us, and he loves us. I don't doubt this. But we feel like we can travel through life without him until we have the emergencies, and that's all he wants to do for us is to pull us out of the hot spots. That's not true. Sometimes the hot spots we need to be pulled out of are the result of us not having ourselves connected to him. All right. Now, again, I say you can't survive spiritually. You can survive financially. You can survive physically. You don't necessarily break down in health. I think it'll come, but not very rapidly, because the soul will have its effect on the body, and you upset the soul, you upset the balance in the Christian's life. But anyway, you can survive in many other ways when you separate yourself from the life supply of Christ, but you'll never survive spiritually. You never will. And you'll finally be taken in by the world and by problems, because Christ, if his life is not flowing to you, it can't get to you. If God can't throw a life preserver to you, there's no way for you to survive when you go under. And the way you want to do is stay connected. And then the life keeps flowing in there, and then there's not only hope, but there is guaranteed survival. Okay, you don't have to have grape juice, I agree with you. But you do have to have the help of Jesus. You don't have to have vineyards in your backyard, but you have to have a true vine. And there's no way for Jesus to benefit you. And again, Christians can't understand this, and they refuse this. But there's no way for the rose bush to supply food to the rose if somebody clips the stem between the main body of the bush and the rose. No matter how hard the little rose bush wants to help the rose survive, as you know and I know, it won't work. I mean, you can't put a straw and stick between the rose bush and the little rose and say, I hope that works. You can't patch it up. There has to be that union there. And when we break away from Jesus Christ, we have broken away from his benefits. We have broken the supply line. We have cut the rescue rope. And no matter how hard he wants to help us, we have broken the channel in which the supply of help flows. I don't know how else to put that. And even an hour's break away from Christ's presence is costly. Just an hour's break. I mean, just take the heart out of the body and separate it for 20 minutes, and it's costly. And there's no way the body can keep going if you remove the heart. It has to have it. And this is the way it is with the Lord. The Lord is the heart of the Christian's life. You remove yourself from the heart, and there is no way in the world Christ can help you. You can say Christ forgives, and he does, but the forgiving channel has been clipped. And God cannot help when the supply line has been cut. I don't know how else to say that. So it's important that you keep yourself as a branch connected to the main vine. I am the true vine. Essential to your spiritual survival. Essential to your spiritual growth. Essential to your spiritual usefulness. Essential to your spiritual fruitfulness. Essential. Not an option. Sometimes we feel like, well, I think I'll just skip Jesus today. We don't really have that option if we want his life to continue helping. I think I'll just let my heart skip beating today. It's the same sort of thing. I am a true vine means I'm a miracle vine. True means distinct, different. A miracle vine. No other vine like it. And what he's saying simply is, as you are attached to me, I can do for you what you could never do for yourself. I can do for you what no man under the sun can do for you, because I am a miracle vine. I can put fruit on you where you would never think fruit was possible. And God, as the vine, loves to put impossible fruit on the Christian branches. And that honors him. It pleases him. We say, I can't. And God says, praise God, I'm glad you can't. Because that gives me a chance to do something you can't do and show how great I am. That's the way it works. And a lot of people say, well, I can't. I'm just going to do for God what I can do. All you're saying is that I'm going to do for God and let God do nothing for me. I don't need God. And it worries me, people say, I don't need God. Well, maybe you don't need God for a lot of things, but if you're to ever have any real fruitfulness in your life, God is going to have to work some little miracles. If I got up and sang and did it good, it would take a miracle to do. And I try on Sunday nights for a miracle every once in a while, you know. And sometimes I hit the right note. That is a miracle. I have improved over the years. But I'm saying, to do the things that God asked me to do are impossible anyway. I can't do it. So God comes along and tells me to do some things I can't do. And I say, well, Lord, I'll tell you what. There is no way I can do it. But if you'd like to try your hand at it, go at it. And then the Lord says, I'll be more than happy to put in your life what you can't do. But brethren, we can never do anything like that if we sever ourselves from the vine. You see, it can't be done. We cannot have fruit in our life, and we cannot do things that are not in our human power to do if Christ is not with us. But if He's with us, you ought to be seeing taking place in your home a happiness. People say, I just can't control my temper. Well, that's fine. Just take your temper to Jesus. He doesn't have one. And He will then in place give you a calmness and a peace and a joy when the times come for you to get mad, and you will have produced a fruitful miracle of patience and love, which to you, brother, is a miracle. Because had things gone their natural way, you would have blown your stack, hit the ceiling, probably struck somebody, and then been forever sorry about it. The Lord says, now I'm going to do something for you you can't do because I'm a miracle vine and I'm going to keep you calm. Now that's a miracle. And all of us have little miracles like this that God needs to work in our life. All the time I'm saying, I can't. My daddy used to say, I can't never get anything. Well, sometimes I can't do much. You know, it's honest truth. But God says, where you can, I can. And that's what I want to do. All right, I must move on. I am the true vine. And this simply means it's a vine that God ordained and God designed. I didn't make Jesus. I didn't choose Jesus. I mean, Jesus is Jesus. And I didn't have a thing to do with it. I didn't make up one of His rules. I didn't make up one thing He said. All He does is tell me I am what my Father produced. Jesus is a Father-produced vine. He just didn't happen on the vine. He just didn't happen on the sea. He wasn't just a man that decided to be good and came so close to God that God adopted him. He was not a man that was just superior to Enoch who walked with God and God took him alive. But Jesus is, in a sense, divinely planted in a little old manger in Bethlehem. He was divinely designed, fully God and fully man. And He was not designed to produce just beautiful foliage. I think that's what the Jews were looking for, a real beautiful Messiah. I'm not talking about looks. But Jesus did not just come producing a lot of great foliage, and the miracles, I think, were great. But if that's all He did, that's just foliage, because God the Father was looking for some real fruit. And the miracles, I guess, was fruit in a way. But the real fruit that Jesus was going to produce for the Father would be born again, redeemed souls that would later on be sanctified and taken to heaven. That's what the Father really wanted out of Jesus. Now, Jesus was not just a lot of foliage, but He came to bear fruit. And He did bear fruit. I am the true vine, not just heavenly design. Carried out His commission. He carried out His commission. He was designed to be a Savior. And He did. He's still designed to be a Savior, to save us from the sins we now live in. And He's still carrying out His design if we stay in the vine. Yeah, we have to stay in the vine. I am a true vine. True means honest. He's not a deceiving vine. He's not a dishonest vine. Now, an unfruitful tree, I don't know a great deal about trees. I don't have any of them, you know, that bear fruit. But I know an unfruitful tree is one that you walk up to it and the foliage is just beautiful and you say to yourself, I am going to have a bumper crop. But all you ever have is shade. And you never have that bumper crop. And you say, that tree lied to me. I mean, look how pretty it was and all the blooms and everything. And it didn't give me one bit of fruit. It lied to me. It tricked me.
I was counting all my pears and apples before they ever blossomed, you know, or ever produced. And you really get this way, I guess, if you're a gardener. My wife goes out, you know, and she sees the big bushes. She says, well, that's coming. That fruit's coming because the vine is living. Well, the fruit doesn't come. She digs it up, you know, and throws it away. Well, that's pretty well what this story says, too. All right. Now, Jesus said that I am an honest vine. Not only do I look promising, but I produce what I promise. All right. Jesus is a true vine, never worthless, brethren. Jesus is not a worthless. He's just not to give us shade and comfort, although I think this is a great advantage to it. My people say, well, all Jesus is for is to keep me comfortable and for me to sit in the shade of his tree and pull down the grapes when I get hungry. Now, God loves you, and God does that. He lets you get under the shadow of his wing when you're in trouble. He lets you rest in him, and he lets you pluck the fruits of his bountiful goodness. He lets you do that. But he's got more to give you than that, and he wants you to take more fruit than that. Now, he's not worthless to you. He's the best friend you have, only if you keep the supply line connected to the vine. Really, man. He's the best friend you have. And when people get in trouble, I'll tell you, brethren, I don't know of anybody I'd rather send you to than Jesus. If he can't fix you up, I don't know what you're going to do. But he can't fix you up if you're not attached to the vine. And if you are, he's a miracle vine, he's a powerful vine, he's a true vine, and he'll do something. Because you see, Jesus has to take care of his branches. If he wants any fruit, if he wants a true branch, he has to be a true vine. Because if he ever fails to be true to the branch can say, well, brother, don't blame me for no fruit. I don't produce the fruit, you do. And if there isn't any fruit, then I'm attached. Don't ever judge me for it, because that's your problem. But I guarantee, as a true vine, he'll not fail to put the fruit there. That's the whole purpose of you being a branch on the vine. All right. I don't believe you'll ever find two things closer together than a branch and a vine. Boy, they are glued together, united like nothing else that I know of. And the union between Christ and his children is just that binding. That's how Christ wants it. We sort of look upon Christ as something that sits in the picture frame or is in the Bible. We don't look upon him as closer than our own soul does, but he is. There is this union between Christ and his child that's greater than a union between man and his wife. Because the wife can go out to the store this way and the husband can stay home and do something else. There is still, but you cannot separate yourself from Jesus. You go to the store, he goes with you. I mean, you go to church, he goes with you. Wherever you go, this union is there as long as you abide in the vine. I'm not saying that Jesus goes with you everywhere you go. If you separate yourself from the vine, I guarantee you Jesus won't go where the branch goes. Not necessarily. Because the lifeline has been cut. But if you abide and stay in Christ, you stay like two hands in one glove. I mean, there's a binding here. And there's a real union. Four things. The value of the vine is seen as function. You know, the vine, and I'm going to say it, and this is not discredit to Christ, and I hope you understand it. The vine without the branches and the leaf and the fruit, it's like a winter scene. It's not very pretty. It's not very attractive. And do you know how Jesus attracts people to the vine? When the vine is in foliage, you don't see the vine, you see the foliage. And when the vine is in foliage and there's fruit, you don't go looking at the trunk of the tree, you go looking at the apples. But people say, you know, that sure is a good tree. And they love the trunk because of what is produced on the branches. And I believe Jesus is saying here that I have a function. Not necessarily do I look very good to the world. As they look at the old tree or the old vine limb, it's not very pretty. When they begin to look at my children, they see sweetness and they see kindness. And they see power, and they see the goodness of God, and they see how people's lives are changed. And they look at the fruit, and they wonder themselves, what could make such a change? We are the attracting power to Jesus. We are. You and I are his salesmen. The world cannot see Jesus, because you see, Jesus, the trunk, is hidden by the foliage, us, and by the fruit. Sometimes we go up and we say, oh, I'm a Christian. And the people on the street says, let me see the fruit. I don't care much about the foliage. And they look at our lives and they say, you're a lying limb. You're a hypocrite. And everybody in the block knows you're a hypocrite. You don't live for Jesus Christ. I'm not attracted to your Jesus. If what he has done for you is all he can do, I don't want to have anything to do with him. There's no fruit in your life, fella. And that's a lot what's wrong today. We are selling the vine short. You know why there's no fruit? Let's be honest about it, brother. When there's no fruit in my ministry and there's no fruit in my life, I won't talk about you. I'll talk about me. I'll guarantee you it's because Billy Brunson has been disconnected from Jesus. And I haven't been honoring him. And I haven't been walking close to him. I'll guarantee you I have dropped away from the vine somewhere. And don't blame Jesus for it. And I guarantee you if we walked with him, we'd be an attractive picture. You'd be attracted to your wife, to your husband, to your neighbor. You'd be attractive. I'm not talking about physical appearance. But there'd be something about you that people would admire and respect and want to copy. And they would say, you're better because, they wouldn't say you're better than me, but they'd say you're better because Jesus did something for you. And I sure need Jesus to do something for me. We're really selling the vine short, brethren. The people can't see the vine. All they can see is you. See me. The value of the vine is seen in its function. Number one, it's a supporter. The vine holds us up. I feel like that's pretty self-explanatory. When troubles come, the vine holds the branches so the winds of torment setting trials don't tear them off. That's Christ. You need me to hold you up. Amen. I agree to that. I want him to hold me up. Number two, the value of the vine is seen in its function as a provider. If I'm ever to bear any fruit, then I'm going to have to trust in Christ the provider. He's the provider. And every time God says, Billy, you go on the pulpit and preach, I say, all right, God, but you better do the preaching yourself. I mean, every time God gives me a command, I dump it right back in his lap. I say, you want me to be holy, all right, then you're going to have to make me holy. You want me to quit doing this, but then you're going to have to, you want me to love people, then you're going to have to make me loving and make me loving. I mean, God, whatever you ask me to do, you are going to have to do it. All right, the vine says, I'm the provider. And thirdly, I believe the vine, the value of the vine is that it's a producer. Before there ever is going to be a resurrection life, there has to be a resurrection life before there can ever be a resurrection fruit. I don't know what God's plans for you are, but I guarantee you God can produce all the needs that will be necessary for his plan in your life to carry out. If God wants me on the top of the branch, all right. God can, I believe, produce the circumstances that will put me up there. If he wants me on the bottom of the limb, all right. He can produce the circumstances, and I must accept it to be on the bottom. I believe God can produce what God asks in my life. I'll tell you, when my life was lived in sin, I had a crop failure. But God can produce in my life crop success. And then last of all, the fourth value of the vine is seen its function as a regulator. A regulator. In other words, Jesus regulates the position and the fruit. How often it's being born. And how many opportunities I have to bear some fruit. I believe Christ regulates my gifts. I'm not brilliant. God has regulated whatever gifts I have. He wants to give me four. He regulates that. I can ask him. It doesn't always do what I ask him. But he regulates my life. He regulates the location where the fruit shall be born. Whether it'll be born here in Pasadena or somewhere else, God regulates my life. Because I am just attached to the vine. That song, I Need Jesus, is literally true. You just don't need him for the sunshine hour, but you need him every moment of every day, not just to save you, but to keep that life flowing from him to you. I hope I have not been offensive. I hope that I have in some way cleared up. God is not attractive without you to the world. Now, all he is to us, Jesus is lovely to us, but the world doesn't see Jesus like you see him. What the world sees will be its picture of Jesus. Picture they see will be an honoring picture if we stay attached. I don't fear this. If you'll stay attached to Jesus, I won't worry about the outcome. I never do. I believe God will take care of all the problems of the branch if they'll just stay attached. It may take time, but he'll do it. If we'll just stay. I am the vine. I am the true vine.